This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's not just a water sport. I knew it.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
That's us, dude.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live Monday through Friday from 8 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 24/7 at Tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. You and me. And here we are with a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And joining us in studio, as he does every Tuesday at this time, here he is, criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, thanks so much.
Hey, great to be here, Tom.
Great to have you in. Criminal defense, what's happening in the world of crime these days?
You know, one of the freakiest things, Tom, that ever happened actually happened to you. I don't know if you know this. But I was thinking about when you were broadcasting for a while in Canada, and then they kind of changed the words around on you, and because you said retard once or twice, they pulled you off the air, right?
That's right.
Now,
that is correct.
I mean, that seems, you know, innocuous enough, and people say, oh, you know, that's Canada. But when I was in law school, there was kind of a new trend. And, you know, everyone talks about free speech, and everyone loves free speech. And then there was this new thing that they started talking about, which was hate speech. And on the surface, it sounds okay. You know, it's like, well, you don't want to hate people. You don't want to degrade people. And so this started to be kind of a separate little entity. And we actually had seminars about it in law school. And I remember thinking, like, you know, this is kind of a slippery slope. And what you saw in Canada with their radio regulation, which I believe is the CRTC, was trying to say that, you know, if you hurt people's feelings, if you said certain words, and this category has grown and grown. Now, law is not, you know, just written in stone. I mean, I guess, you know, the Ten Commandments maybe were on the stone tablets, but law is actually a living thing, and it evolves and changes. And when you look at the way things are developing in other countries, it's very, very important to look at, because a lot of times these kinds of concepts, you know, travel to the different Western countries and to the United States, of course. And something's happening now in England, which is absolutely unbelievable. Based on the same concept, Tom, that happened to you, with this kind of hate speech and regulating, insulting people. They talk now about microaggressions. In England, they actually have made it illegal to hurt the feelings of your partner. Did you get this, Tom?
Oh, yeah.
I
did see this story. Hurting your partner's feelings can be considered domestic violence.
Right. That's not a joke. So they actually have had incidences in England where the husband or boyfriend said things that made the partner feel bad, such as the food's no good, like she prepared food and he didn't like it, or he told her she didn't look good, or he was dissatisfied with her in some way as a partner, and he hurt her feelings, and this actually is domestic violence. You got to remember, Tom, that, you know, the whole idea behind domestic violence was guys beating up their girlfriends, right? I mean, you know, beating up their wives. And then we've seen from, you know, certain experience in actual reality that women also hit men and their partners and whatnot. But going away from the whole violence thing and then just creating essentially a larger and larger net where just basically everything counts. Now, I talk especially to young guys. There are a lot of things going on now where colleges have these campus codes where you're not supposed to do all these different kinds of things. You're supposed to respect each other and respect each other's differences. And this is even more so not only for students, but for students that live, let's say, on campus, because they live in student dormitories, and that's actually run by the university, whether it's a public or private university. But the whole concept behind these codes is actually finding ways to ensnare almost everybody. Now, classically speaking, there is what they call something at work now that everyone knows, which is sexual harassment laws. And the leader of Fox News, Roger Ailes, who's actually the founder of Fox News, and he was doing it for a very long time, he was accused by one of the women on the show that was in one of the shows during the day that they apparently didn't renew her contract. And he was accused of sexually harassing her. And this is something that goes on, and it's a big deal. Once she said it, then it kind of piled on. Some of the other women at the network said it. And now they're saying in another thing that, you know, even him and also Bill O'Reilly, who's also one of the major people on TV on Fox News. And, you know, it doesn't really necessarily matter what you think of Fox News, but this is something that gains momentum. And ultimately, he had to resign, essentially in disgrace, and the company's being sued. Now, this is in the workplace, but what's interesting is I saw a woman who was doing interviews you know, on one of those kind of YouTube channels, and a guy said something nasty to her in the street, and she started screaming, you know, arrest him, he's sexually harassing me. Which is ridiculous, you know? I mean, it's crazy. People are just sort of taking these words. And in one of the places where it has a lot of impact is certainly at work and what I was mentioning before in college campuses and so forth. We're looking at the new year. It's almost September, and people are going back to school. And, you know, obviously when you talk about even in younger grades in elementary school and high school, we've all heard these crazy stories where a 7-year-old boy kisses 7-year-old girl and they're going to send him to gender sensitivity classes and that he sexually harassed the 7-year-old. And, you know, Gary was just talking with Dino on the news about yet another one of these incidents where a teacher is having an affair or whatever you want to call it, essentially molesting a 13-year-old boy or a 14-year-old boy. And this is something that seems to be happening nationwide in greater and greater numbers. Now, I, you know, don't know if this is something that's always happened in history, but this is something that is certainly much more prevalent today. And I have gotten a lot of calls from guys who are really scared about stuff like this, that they're afraid they're going to get ensnared in things like this. Now, it is very, very typical, that a woman, even if she breaks up with you, or certainly if you break up with her, so a scorned woman, is going to go berserk. And if she is not the type that's going to go all the way and say that you raped her or whatever, it is very, very middle ground-ish for her to say that you harassed her or that you stalked her or you broke these hate codes. And when you talk about the relations now between, I think, the races and, you know, different kinds of people in America from different backgrounds, amazingly, things have gotten much more explosive than they've ever been. I think that people were hoping, I think, with President Obama being the president, that we were going to live in this sort of post-racial world. And it seems in some way that things are even more intense. And when you talk about this new expression, which is microaggressions, this means that you can say something very, very slight, and it causes a catastrophe. People are you know, so upset. They've given examples of this that are so silly. If you talk to a foreign person who's obviously has English as their second language, and you say to them, you know, you speak English really well, which sounds like it's a compliment, it's actually a microaggression because you've said something really insensitive to them culturally, or you've been racist against them. I was just actually buying food for the guys here in a restaurant in Burbank, and this is crazy. I was standing making the order, and this woman standing next to me who had just made her order told me that I was in her personal space because I was, she felt standing too close to her or something, which is ridiculous. I was not too close to her. I was just doing my own thing. And she literally looked at me and said, "I feel that you are raping me." Now, you know, rape is a very serious crime. It's very serious to accuse someone of that. And here we are fully dressed in a, you know, public place with lots of people around. And she's obviously completely out of her freaking mind. But this is the new terminology. And I really think that a lot of guys have got to be aware of some of these things where you're in very socially innocent circumstances and people are likely to freak out. Now, when I was in court today, this morning, there was a guy who came in, just kind of walking down the hallway in the court, who was dressed as a woman. He was a transgender or, I don't know, transsexual or transvestite or something. And I mean, it's so obviously obvious. It's crazy. You know, I don't know that what exactly the pretense is supposed to be. We live in a society now where Bruce Jenner became Caitlyn Jenner, so he is now a woman, and they're, you know, he's wearing women's clothes and he has a woman's name, and they're putting her on the cover of women's magazines, and everyone agrees. You know, it's like this: the emperor has no clothes. We're all saying, "Oh, Caitlyn is so gorgeous. Oh, Caitlyn is so beautiful." You know, yesterday, Tom, you were having the show about, you know, would you have sex with a transsexual, you know?
Yes.
I mean, you know, it's like we're playing this dress-up game and we're pretending that it's real and we're saying that it's okay. And what is absolutely galling, and this is something that people have got to look at and got to take a real, you know, serious impression of, is that you as a regular guy going to college now or working in a workplace have got to really watch your step. Because, you know, we have a way of deflecting things a lot of times with humor. And I don't think that you, Tom, particularly hate retarded people or whatever. But I think that, you know, like what you did on the Canadian network, you know, you're talking about someone and you're saying it in a humorous way. And then they will parade a bunch of retarded people in and say, "Look at the people you've insulted, and look how you've hurt everyone's feelings, and your speech is hate speech." And suddenly, you know, by being able to paint you with that brush, everything you say is now wrong and everything you've done is terrible. And the new thing is to deplatform, which means that if you were going to give a speech at university or you were going to be on some network or whatever you were going to do, they take that away from you. They say, "We don't even want to hear what this person says." And the danger from the criminal law point of view is exactly what you said before, Tom, which is that the insulting of your wife now or insulting of your girlfriend or hurting her feelings, and, you know, a woman's feelings, that's a pretty wide-ranging, you know, set of impulses and craziness. But if you say something that hurts her, that's going to be domestic violence. And that, like, without, you know, a joking manner with a straight face, you're going to tell your wife that dinner sucked because she overcooked it, and she's going to have the police come and take you away as though you had been violent against her. And then that issue is going to then be used against you criminally. That's going to affect you later when you're trying to get custody of your children, and you are going to be stamped with that. You know, when you go for a job interview and they see in your criminal record that you have a conviction for domestic violence, they're not going to ask questions. They're not going to say, "Well, wait a minute, did you punch your wife or did you just say something that hurt her feelings?" They're going to see domestic violence and they're going to assume probably the worst. And it is something that you know, marks you in a very negative way. I think that the censorship of ideas is a terrifying prospect. I mean, I think that in the context now, obviously we're on the internet and so Canadians can listen to the show, which I think is great. But years ago, when, you know, Tom Leica's show was on terrestrial radio, this is something that Canadians had and their government literally took away from them. Their government actually said, "We know what's better for you. We know what's best for you. We know that you should not, as a Canadian, listen to this show, and so we're going to make the show illegal." And literally, it was taken off the air. Now, Americans don't think that that's possible, but it is possible. And one of the highly protected areas is in matters regarding to the religion of Islam, which we've seen where there were cartoons that were published in Denmark, and the Muslims freaked out and threw riots and burned embassies, and there was all kinds of apologies for that. There's anything now that is critical. Even, for example, the cartoonists on South Park, for all the things that they lampooned for 20 years, they were prevented from publishing their cartoon, which actually showed Muhammad and made fun of him in some way. And he's the prophet of Islam or whatever. And President Obama actually went into the UN and actually said that, you know, the future does not exist for people that insult the prophet of Islam and blah, blah. I mean, this is all unbelievable because it's supposed to all be fair game. If, you know, someone is an atheist or someone is critical of religion, and, you know, I've seen real insults of my religion, and I've seen real insults of Christianity, and, you know, there's all kinds of jokes that are made or whatever, and that's par for the course. But when you say that one religion, for example, you know, shouldn't be criticized, and that it's not, you should make it illegal to criticize it, that's a terrifying prospect. And, you know, people don't recognize how their rights are chipped away at little by little through what today is called political correctness. You know, political correctness is a dangerous thing because in the idea of saying, well, we don't want to insult blacks. Oh, we don't want to insult minorities. Oh, we don't want to insult immigrants. And we don't want, you know, so the list ends up getting larger and larger and larger. And, you know, the thing that is important to be published is not the thing that you agree with, but it's the thing that you hate the most. And you have to be able to deal with that. I mean, I don't like Nazis, for example, but, you know, there's so much stuff on the internet that, you know, connects to Nazis and so forth. And probably it's better to have it out there and have people look at it and realize how ridiculous it is. When you censor it and you try to prevent it from being published, you're actually hurting yourself because that makes it even more interesting and more fascinating, and people think that this is something really forbidden. I mean, I remember as a teenager, you know, that marijuana was illegal and it was so, you know, dangerous and deadly that it was almost part of the fun of smoking it, was doing the subversive thing that would drive your parents crazy and make everyone upset. And in the context today, as I said, for young people especially, you have to really be aware of this. The things that you are going to say now, the things that you're going to say to a woman on campus, and the things that are going to be interacted with at work are things that can really burn you. And, you know, one of the things that in a small business world, and I learned this also from you, Tom, is, you know, if there's women at the office, you really mustn't interact with them at all. I mean, that's not a joke. I mean, that sounds extreme, but you certainly have to try to keep that to an absolute minimum, and you don't want to get into any kind of connection. Everyone we talk to that has romances at work with their coworkers and so forth, it ends up being a catastrophe. One of the things that's really interesting, and this also certainly probably relates to our listeners, is in the military. There have been, you know, unbelievable scandals regarding, you know, to these sexual circumstances with the Navy and so forth. And there's a lot of pressure in an organization like the military where there's this very hierarchical structure of the people with their ranks and everything. And if you are a general or a three-star general or whatever, and you have a very low-ranking woman as your secretary who's a, you know, private first class or whatever, and if she can take you down by making a complaint against you, that turns everything upside down. Instead of being your command, you know, commanding her and you're the general, you actually have to be really wary of her. And, you know, it's like a doctor now. You have to have a nurse in the room. You never want to be alone with her. You want to have cameras. If you go to the dentist now, they never have any doors anywhere. They don't have any curtains. They want everything out in the open because some woman is on anesthesia and she thinks that, you know, you touched her or whatever. And in the military, between the rankings, there are now more and more structures where they're putting pressure on putting women into combat roles and putting women into every possible connection in the military. And then on the other hand, the woman has to be comfortable and she can't feel pressure. And like I mentioned before, I stood next to a woman in a restaurant ordering line, and she became absolutely hysterical that I was just standing there. I was too close, according to her, which makes absolutely no sense. I wasn't close to her at all. And women use words, and they say, you're assaulting me, you're raping me, you're attacking me, you're sexually assaulting me. And we still have a society that becomes absolutely crazy when these kind of words emerge. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I think that as a young woman, and I've heard stories like this where a girl in third grade or fourth grade already quite understands the power that she has, and she knows that if she makes a comment that relates to sex, or that she says, you know, that boy touched me inappropriately or spoke to me inappropriately, that this is going to get everyone absolutely crazy. And there is something genetic, certainly, particularly among men, of the need and the desire to protect women and to protect the society's women. And you can see in certain situations where, you know, people are hurting a woman, or there's a perception, and all these guys, what are called white knights, who don't even know her, will come flying over to protect her, whatever that means, or to try to help her to escape the danger. And this is something that our society has taken to an absurd level. I sit in court now, and in my own cases, and I see other cases in the criminal courts, where guys have done probably what you would think to be very innocuous things, and they're getting in a lot of trouble. And, you know, they talked about this in the situations in college. I read a very bizarre story where this woman reported a boy that she had sex with. The next day she woke up, and this is how it happened. The woman wakes up the next day and doesn't like what she did and sort of feels bad and has buyer's remorse. She didn't say that he raped her. She said that it felt rapey, which is like weird, you know, like what is rapey? And this was something that ended up destroying this guy's life. And this is the power that exists in this context. And you have to really take a step back, especially in the political correct culture now, and really ask yourself, you know, is it worth the job? And this is something you've always mentioned, Tom, you know, before you have an affair at work, you say to yourself, do you like your job? Because, you know, this woman is going to have the power to take it away from you. And you see how people don't have the same impulse control anymore. These teachers, I mean, it's unbelievable to think that a teacher who's 25 or 30 is having an affair with one of her students who's 14. I mean, you know, there may have been an attraction, or she thought he was cute or whatever, but, you know, there would have normally been the adult who would have said, well, that's nice, but there's no way in God's green earth that I'm going to have an affair with a child. And that seems to have been absolutely positively removed, where people just don't restrain themselves anymore, men or women. And it's like, you know, the kind of that 1960s thing, you know, if it feels good, you should do it. And you see how this has been a very disrupting to our society, very confusing, where people don't know where the boundaries are. And I get to watch these people in court, and I get these people calling me and telling me, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, a lot of people call me and talk to me about possibilities where they haven't been arrested yet and they haven't been charged yet, but the woman said, I'm going to go to the police. I'm going to tell them you did this to me. You know, you had sex with me, or you did this to me, and you know, I didn't really consent, or I didn't want to, or you pushed me, or you scared me, or you harassed me. And guys call me and say to me, oh my God, what if this happens? What if I get charged? What am I going to do? My life is over. And I say, you know, well, why were you doing this with this, you know, inappropriate person such as a coworker? And it's just like, you know, she was hot, man, which is that connection of, you know, losing the sense of judgment. And, you know, I think there was a time in society where a lot of people probably met at work. I know a lot of people talk about how did you get to know each other, couples, you know, and they say, oh, you know, she was the new girl at the office and I thought she was cute and I asked her out. Those days are over. You know, you can't do that anymore. And a lot of the connections in our culture, and talking about sort of the hookup culture and so forth, that has to be done, I think, with real caution, especially when you have these campus codes and speech codes and hate crimes legislation. And, you know, even some of the really great comedians, I saw a whole thing with Chris Rock and Jerry Seinfeld, among others, that were saying that they will not perform on campuses anymore. I mean, when I was in college, and, you know, my college was like this medium-sized school in New York. I remember we had Eddie Murphy there. He was hilarious. We had other famous comedians at that time. George Carlin came to my campus. And now they just don't do that anymore because they feel that the audiences are super hostile. And, you know, someone that I really admire who's been on this show, Tom, and I know you know his materials very well, Warren Farrell, he went to speak at the University of Toronto, and they went berserk. And they, you know, pulled the fire alarm, and they had protests, and they threw eggs and all this crap, and the campus security had to close down the lecture. That's the brave new world that we live in today.
Well, there's no doubt about that. Yes, we have to be vigilant, and yes, we can't be tolerating attacks on free speech.
It's everywhere.
Free speech is the most important thing we have in America, and it's the thing that sets us apart from just about every country, including Canada, by
the way.
Yeah, but
we think of Canada as a fellow democracy, right? And, I mean, I don't remember seeing...
We think of it as that. Everybody thinks the First Amendment applies to all of North America.
Yeah, but I don't remember seeing major protests when you were taken off the air in Canada, right?
No, there were no major protests. The only way people voted was with their feet. The radio station we were on went from last place to first place the first 6 months we were on.
Right.
And then 6 months after we were gone, they went from first place to last place.
But if you see free speech today being
curtailed...
So that's
curtailed, all people did. They just stopped listening to the station.
Right, but that was a loss to them also. They couldn't hear the programming they wanted to hear. And you were run out
right.
of town for hate speech or whatever bullshit, right? I mean, that was the story.
Right.
Well, if we see those kinds of laws coming through in England, which is a fellow democracy, in France, which is a fellow democracy, and Germany, which is a fellow democracy... And then it's being talked about at the UN that there should be some international treaty passed among all the member nations. How long is it until the United States starts pulling this kind of nonsense too? And isn't it already
right.
happening? I mean, if people are afraid to tell the truth, if people are afraid to talk honestly, I know you don't like Donald Trump, Tom, but look how he has been, you know, called a racist and a bigot. And that really stings. That really hurts. That is the deplatforming. That's when you can't speak because, like I mentioned about Mr. Farrell, he comes to University of Toronto. They say he's a misogynist and a hate thinker and a hate speaker, and they go bananas. They throw riots. They carry on. They pull the fire alarm, and he ends up having to leave without giving his talk. That's it. We shut him up, didn't we?
Well, they think they have anyway.
Right.
And at that one location, they did shut him up. Again, it's not the government censoring people yet. It is these colleges and specific locations where people are speaking that are keeping people from saying what they have to say. Here's the part I don't understand. Why do they hire these speakers and announce that they're going to be speaking at a university and then later cancel them because of the blowback?
Right.
Why hire them in the first place?
I think that they get hired by some of the student organizations, right? So let's say there's some more kind of to the right, like the College Republicans or something like that, you know? So the College Republicans
yes.
or some of the men's rights groups for students, you know, which are more, you know, obviously more sort of right-leaning groups, invite someone like Farrell. And then you have the lesbian groups and the heavy-duty feminist groups are the kind of the blowback against it and try to block him from coming or whatever. And then, you know, have these big protests. See, I wouldn't mind that as long as he got to say what he has to say. I mean, whatever it is, you don't have to agree with it. That's the whole purpose of the university, is you're supposed to expose, you know, yourself to differing and new ideas, including ones you don't agree with. But what they do is Farrell goes into the audience, into the lecture hall, and they put people with these little handheld blowhorns in the audience and like distract and disrupt the lecture. That is so bizarre. That is fascist tactics. And guys today think it's all a big joke and it's all funny, but it's not. If you get ensnared in some BS in your campus for hate speech, or for breaking the political correct speech codes, or for, you know, yes means yes and no means yes and all this other stuff and the campus sex codes, you're going to be expelled from your school. You're going to lose your career in terms of supposedly getting a degree and so forth. And it's going to be something that's going to be dangerous. I mean, there are people today that get in trouble for writing papers that are not politically correct. And let me tell you something. I had a lot of professors, even years ago, who were Marxist-Leninists. And if you wanted an A in that class, your final had better follow Marxist-Leninism.
Well, understood.
If you know what's
Listen,
good for
I
you.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to break in here because we got callers.
Sure.
And we're going to take a break. And I'm going to take some of these callers coming up at 901-3000 Tom. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. It's Adam Sachs, criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs, is answering your legal questions. Free legal advice for you right now. And all you have to do is call this number, 901-3000 Tom. 901-3000 Tom. That's our number. It's 901-3000-866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. 901-3000 Tom. That's our number. 901-3000 Tom. Let's go. 901-3000-866. The bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. That means we go an extra hour live every Tuesday. And every Tuesday we provide you with an hour of Attorney Adam Sachs, who's here as criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs right now. If you need legal advice, call 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-866. Here is Michael in Torrance. On the Tom Likas Show for Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hello, Tom. Hello, Adam.
Hey, Mike.
Well, so I've been a listener a long time, and you were describing an impulse thing. I had a road rage today performed against me by a driver.
Really?
And, yep, driving over in the Lomita Torrance area, and I... don't know. I was going down in the middle of lunchtime. I was actually eating a sandwich, and I look over, and this guy's next to me, flipping me off, doing whatever he's doing. So I kind of tried to get away from him. He followed me all through town, did some circles, did some stuff like that. And he, so I got to a light that was going to put me on the 110 freeway, and I look up, and he's in my window. So I rolled the window down a little bit just to see what he had to say. I said, "What's up, man?"
Oh, jeez.
And he stuck his hand through and gave me a shot in the face.
Oh, my God.
And then my door was unlocked, which I didn't realize at the time. And he took my door and flung it open and was trying to crank the door open in the opposite direction, which damaged it.
Jesus.
And I'm like, dude, what is up? In the meantime, he's flailing away trying to hit me. So I reached down under my seat and grabbed my club, which I put on my steering wheel at night, and got out and said, dude, now you're going to have some problems, okay? And... he kept hitting me and everything like that, and I was trying to push him back. He tagged me on the side of the chin a little bit, and then I clocked him with the club, and then the club fell out of my hand. He kept fighting, and all the way back to his car. Well, in the meantime, the guy that was in the front of me in the turn lane got out and was calling the police, and he kept telling the guy, "Stop doing what you're doing, dude. You're causing problems." So the guy hit me two or three times again in my arms because I was bigger than him. I got a couple of shots on his face, gave him a bloody nose, and so he's sitting on the front of his car, and then he wanted to...
Are you kidding me? What is this? That's crazy.
Oh, my God. I'm telling you. So I got back in my car because I was just like, whoa, freaked out, got in the car. The guy in front of me said, "I saw everything, dude. If you need a witness," I just like was dismayed. I was like, whoa. And he came back and did the same thing again with the door and started trying to hit me again.
All right.
So,
what originally happened? What antagonized this guy? What started this?
I don't know. All I know is that we were in traffic. I don't have any clue. I think I must have cut him off or something. I know, down the traffic on this real intense around lunchtime. But I don't know. I was busy eating my sandwich, just kind of cruising along. I'm going to go to another client, and I all of a sudden saw this antagonism, and of course I'm like, dude, shut the fuck up, whatever, it's over with. And he just wasn't going to stop. And he was a little Hispanic guy, and he was sawed off, ready to go. And then when he came back again, I couldn't believe it, and I had to fight him back again. So when it came time to go, we waited for about 10 minutes because I thought the police would come. Of course, they didn't. The guy that was in front of me called the cops, and he said, well, man, I got to go. Here's my card. I'm 100% supportive of being your witness, man. That guy was ridiculous. I saw him hit you first, and he came back and went for more. So here's what I've been doing, Adam, because you always say this.
Okay.
I called the police and got a general idea how I can make a report, but I didn't make a report yet because I'm trying to call my attorney who helped me a couple of years ago on that incident I was in and trying to get his advice before I call the police. So you tell me, am I, do I make a complaint and just go from there?
Did you get the guy's, like his license plate number?
I did. I took pictures of him sitting on his car. I got a picture of his car.
All right.
And the police said two things. They said one is it's a misdemeanor battery, if that's what's occurred,
right.
And the other is if it's over $950, it's a felony.
Right.
If he damaged your
well, also
your
he
property.
He did personal harm to you, so that's pretty serious.
Yeah.
Listen, I mean, what a crazy story. I don't know what to say about the whole thing. It's pretty awful. I'm really sorry that happened to you. You know, in general, road rage is irrational, okay? And I don't know if you cut this guy off or he thought you cut him off or who knows. You just basically have some crazy person with a small dick who wants to, like, you know, make a scene or whatever. There's a lot of very angry people out there. I think you handled it correctly in some ways. You got his info from his plate, so that's good. You got your witness. So you have that other guy who saw what happened. You got his card, so that was smart. You know, in that situation,
talked to him twice since then.
I understand.
I talked to him twice because he had his phone. I wanted to see if he videotaped it. And he said he didn't. He was just trying to call the police.
Right. I understand.
But he's told me twice. I'm 100%. You know, anything you need to do is have the police call me. I'll tell him. And he started the whole thing and called.
All right. Well, that's a good thing.
One
thing I would say to people in general, you know, if God forbid you get into a situation where someone is following you in this way or like road rage or whatever, the thing, you know, people say, what the hell am I supposed to do? The smart thing to do is to drive to a police station. I mean, I don't know if you have GPS in your car. My car draws like a map of where you are, and your phone can do that. Drive to the nearest police station, and there's a lot of them. And generally speaking, once you're in the parking lot of the police station, the guy will knock it off, you know, when you sort of get near to the front door of the police, you know, because there's cameras and police walking around. But generally speaking,
well, Adam,
I
was actually going to do that. I circled around and did four or five U-turns. In fact, at one point, a policeman, they chirped their sirens, and I thought, oh, there's the police. And it was an undercover police, and he said, you two knock it off, whatever you're doing. And then he just kept going. It was an undercover cop.
Great.
I'm like, oh, that's great.
That wasn't very helpful.
That's when I got the turn lane shoot, and that's when he got out of the car. I was trying to get away, and I got stuck.
I know. I'm really glad it wasn't any worse. I mean,
I'm telling you. I'm sitting here just still shaking this off today.
He could have knifed you or something, you know? I mean, why not, right? He was obviously out of control. I mean,
I had the door unlocked. After
these
all
things
that
go on. No, I know, but even this thing where you roll down the window and he had the door and you pulled the door open. I mean, crazy stuff, man. You can't get yourself in these situations. At this point,
well, I've already got an estimate. It's about $2,000 in damage on pulling the door open. He did it
all
twice.
Right, well, you obviously.
So, I don't know. I was waiting to hear back from my attorney on it just to sort of get some advice. I mean, I'd call you guys since you were talking about info.
First of all, I think you should make a police report. That's for sure. The other thing I want you to know is that as an attorney, and I can do this, obviously, if you have a lawyer, he can do it. I can run a license plate. There's a form for that. And so I can find out, you know, who this person is or who owns his car or whatever. So that's probably the first thing you can do, and you could just sue him for the damages that he's done, you know, with the $2,000 or whatever. But, I mean, your witness would be that guy whose card you took. I think you handled it right. I mean, you got the witness, you got the situation, you took some, you know, information to figure out who the guy is. I just think you better make the report about him before he does something to you. I mean, he may turn this whole incident, you know, upside down and go to the police and say that, You attacked him because he's Hispanic, and this was a racial incident, and it's a hate crime, and all that other nonsense that I was talking about before.
Okay.
And that he was really scared of you, and then you said anti-Hispanic epithets, you know, and all of a sudden you're going to be the one getting arrested. So be careful.
And, I will.
You know, you should write down some notes so that you remember what happened, because this is fresh in your mind. And just, you know, try to be aware of the situation. It's amazing how these things can become so life-threatening. And people have, like you say, been knifed or shot or whatever. I'm really glad. I know it's crazy that this wasn't worse. It sounds like you came out of it relatively unscathed. But to lose your life over someone cutting you off is ridiculous. Stupid, you know?
Crazy. Michael, good luck. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it here. 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number and our bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. We are joined here, of course, by criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. You can talk to Adam, get free legal advice right now. Just call us at 901-3000-TOM. That's 901-3000-866.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
The Tom Likas Show. At 901-3000-TOM, that's our telephone number. 901-3000-TOM. That's how you reach us here, 901-3000-866. Now, Adam Sachs, how can people get in touch with you?
You can call me toll-free, 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check me out on Facebook or on my website at www.adamlawyer.com. And you can send me an email, which I answer myself, adam@adamlawyer.com.
Now, Adam, this Sunday we're going to be seeing you out at Dodger Stadium. Is that the deal?
Hell yeah. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Loving that.
Can't
we have
wait.
70 people. 70 people in a suite. And it's unheard of.
It's not normal, Tom. It's just off the charts.
I'm loving that.
So, Tom, did you ever have someone get into road rage? Is that unbelievable? Like, following?
You know what? I have had people enraged. by the way, beyond road rage, as you know, I was I was
beating
a bloody
right?
pulp once in an alley.
Geez,
it was right outside
in Seattle, right?
In Seattle. Yeah.
I'm so sorry, Tom.
So I have run into people like this. There's a lot of mental illness out there, a lot of psychotropic drugs out there.
There are a lot of people that are like ready to explode, basically, if you give them an excuse of any kind.
Right.
The people that attacked you knew that it was you, right? It was actually targeted on you.
They knew it was me after somebody in their crowd took a picture of me on their cell phone and then brought it back to other people and said, hey, look who I just got a picture of, Tom Likas. So one of the people got up from that table and followed me outside.
Oh, my God.
When I went outside.
Oh, God.
And sure enough, are you Tom?
Great.
Yes.
That's it, yes.
Boom.
Maybe. Who's asking?
Boom.
Unbelievable.
It was just like that. But I don't get into road rage incidents. You know, when people cut me off, I back up, let them in.
Yeah.
When they start honking at me.
Bizarre.
By the way, I had another road rage incident. Right where that fire is, not far from there, on Highway 154.
Really?
Between Santa Barbara and Solvang. There are long stretches in there where it's dark. No lights. It's two-lane highway. Late at night, there's very few people on that road. And so I was just, cruising northbound, as I frequently do on the weekend, to head up and visit my home. And a guy in a van literally stopped the van.
Unbelievable.
Now, I was trying to drive.
You got to be kidding.
Here's what happened. I was driving 5 miles above the speed limit, but I know how many cops are employed in Santa Barbara County. They've got nothing better to do than write tickets. As you know, you've helped me with some of them.
Right.
So I was driving literally 60 miles an hour in a 55. So I think I was driving a reasonable speed. But this guy, I don't know if he was on meth or what he was doing. He didn't think I was driving fast enough.
Right.
So ultimately, he crossed a double line and passed me and then stopped short. then got out of his vehicle.
Grabbed
a tire iron. This is true. He grabbed a tire iron out of the flatbed and started heading towards me. And I literally had to start backing my car up and hoping nobody was behind me. I had to start backing my car up faster than he could run. And finally, by the time I dialed 911, he had jumped back in the vehicle and sped off. Oh,
thank God for that.
But by the way, this was 15 miles from civilization. There was nobody around. Nobody. So, you know, when you're out driving at night, you don't even think about things like that. You know, you're driving at night, you just want to get home. You know, you haven't been drinking, you're not worried about cops, you're not worried about anything. Driving at normal speed. But there's always going to be some nutcase who's going to decide he doesn't like the cut of your jib, and then he's going to get out there and try to cut your jib.
It's unbelievable. And it seems like I said, these people have it right at the tip of their tongue, you know. It's just one wrong move, and they go to DEFCON 1 immediately, you know.
Right.
There's no negotiation. This guy's coming at you with a tire iron. I mean, what's he trying to do? Seriously, that's like, you know, he's going for deadly force, one would think.
It, well, certainly seems that way. And, I was just blown away by this guy getting out of a vehicle, dressed like a shit kicker, complete with cowboy hat and boots and everything. But he just had rage in his eyes. I mean, he was raging. So, yeah, I've run into road rage. I've run into raging people many, many times.
I'm a little surprised that caller, you know, kind of had his door open or whatever, and he kind of rolled the window down a little, and the guy opened the door. I mean...
Right?
That's crazy. That's so crazy. And then some off-duty undercover cop drives by and says, "You guys knock it off," and then keeps driving. Unbelievable.
Right?
It's like, this is semi-normal now. This is like not that big a deal, you know? It happens all the time. Unbelievable.
I know.
It's amazing. It seems like society is falling apart, I swear.
So frustrating. All right, one more time, Adam. Tell us where we can get in touch with you.
You can call me toll-free, 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com.
There we go. Adam, by the way, joins us every Tuesday. If you missed the live opportunity to call in, you'll have another opportunity to talk to Adam. It's coming up on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. It's coming up at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Stick it in your rack. Let them enjoy it, too. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's news for guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Yes.
Nude in the news, a naked man arrested in Palm Beach. He's masturbating by the side of the road.
Well,
right there, Palm Beach Boulevard. Beautiful place, too, you know.
Tom has probably been to Palm Beach Boulevard. Probably drove over him in a Tesla, if he's seen the dude.
Yeah. Your boy was jacking off. Dick Van Pelt is his name.
How fitting.
He was fondling himself still when the cops arrived. He was standing just about 10 feet away from the traffic while he was doing this. He apparently thought he was on his own property, but nowhere near it. And that wouldn't have made any difference, by the way.
Not at all. By the way, this happened near Old Oga Road.
Oh, Old Oga Road.
Yeah, that's right off there, PVB. Right. It's not a nice place. So I don't know what our friend was up to, but the canine unit was brought out to track our friend down, even though he was nude.
Right. Remember this story? We covered it a few years ago. A trucker apparently drove into a school bus full of children.
Yep.
Turns out that his wife was naked in the passenger seat at the time. She claimed that she was nude because it was hot, and she lost her underwear in the collision that they were on at the time that it happened. But they got blown off.
Right.
Her panties got ripped off by the collision.
By the way, the trucking company, Moe's.
Moe's Trucking Company. Your boy got 20 years.
Yeah.
20. He had quite the list of priors.
Mm-hmm. The school bus that they hit had 15 elementary school kids in there, and that's going to leave a mark.
Yeah, one of them got an open skull fracture. The other girl got her leg crushed. Your friend had grand theft, domestic battery, burglary, theft, Jesus. Trespassing, and shoplifting, all on his record. So they must have been having some fun there in the cab.
Do you think?
Yeah, crazy situation. A man accused of trading sex with a woman for photos of minors faces over 1,000 charges.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I think your girl was giving him pictures of her granddaughter. This is extremely, extremely uncool, as we know. Police say they found hundreds of child porn images on his computer and phone.
By the way, a lot of weird stuff here. They confiscated, cell phone towers, five cell phones.
Yeah.
Here's the weird part. 28 floppy disks.
Right. Who's got floppy disks?
Somebody that wants to pull stuff online or not have it on a hard drive, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Multiple cameras.
37 handwritten journals.
Yeah. That you want to leave a paper trail, that's just how you do it.
Yeah.
Good luck to our friend Randy.
That is fucking crazy. State police said that he came to their attention in January after someone said that his girlfriend was sending him pictures of her granddaughter sleeping.
In exchange for some sex.
One of those pictures showed the 10-year-old girl with her pants down. Finally, pick alert for you. Someone who's completely legal and super hot. Her name is Sarah Sampaio. Whatever. Something like that. She's in a bikini.
She's unreal.
Incredible body, and I think is the Victoria's Secret model, so there's a certain level of expectation she delivers.
I'm down.
There's plenty more news for guys.com, and of course you can find our podcast at GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
It felt rapey.